Psalm 27. And Psalm 27, and we'll pick up tonight at verse number 1. Psalm 27 and verse number 1, the Bible says this, a Psalm of David. Psalm 27, verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Teach us, direct us, help us, and guide us tonight, Father. We pray in the precious Lord Jesus' name, and please, for his sake, amen. Y'all can be seated. Okay. David says here in Psalm 27, verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Okay, so both light and salvation. Notice what David says. He says the Lord is not just light. He said he's my light. David's personal light. Now, the Lord is indeed light. He is light. Go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John chapter 1 at verse 6. John 1 verse 6. The Bible says, John 1 verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, but his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So John wasn't that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. The Bible says, which was the true light, the light of every man that cometh into the world. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And every man has that knowledge in him. The Bible says the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So the thing of it is, brethren, when you're telling somebody about God and witnessing to them, you don't need to worry about breaking your back over how can I get them to understand this. Just tell them the truth. Because within that, listen, they have within them, given to them the ability to grasp what you're telling them. And the Holy Ghost will bear witness to it. Listen, the burden upon you and I is not the convincing. It's merely the telling. You understand that? Our burden, brethren, is not the burden of trying to, how can I get this home? How can I make them? You can't. God has already gone ahead of you and made every person. Hey, listen, Jesus Christ is the true light which lighteth every man that cometh in the world. And the invisible things of him are clearly seen and understood by the things which are made, even the eternal power and Godhead. So God has made every man to where they can understand, they can receive truth. The Holy Ghost will back you up when you give folks truth. That's not your burden. That is upon the Lord. He'll take care of that. Our part is simply to tell. And God will bear the witness. All right, take your Bible just a minute and go to John 8. He is that true light. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. The problem is, well, go to John 8 just a minute. John 8 verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus said he's the light of the world. And men are able to grasp this. And so we ask ourselves, why then? Why do so many people stay in darkness? Because they choose to. They choose to. And there's no other way around it. They choose to stay in darkness. John chapter 3. Go back there real quick. John chapter 3. And verse 19. Jesus said, and this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world. And men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Because light exposes. Light exposes. And brethren, in order for us to be saved, to get saved, we've got to sit under the exposing light of the Spirit of God and the Word of God and let ourselves be laid bare and naked before God. And that is not an enjoyable experience at first until He clothes us, until He saves us and clothes us. Because at that moment we're exposed and we realize here's an entity that knows everything about me and I can't hide from him. And so what people want to do is just run. Run. Instead of standing in the face and saying, God, unless you make a way for me, there's no hope for me on my own. And God has made a way through the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's the problem. Light is coming to the world. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Brethren, nobody likes to be exposed. Nobody likes to be called out. We don't like that. But if there's any hope for us ever, we have to sit under that. We have to sit and let ourselves be exposed, laid bare, and we can get help from God then. Amen. But it's the only way. Bible says, verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. See, that's the problem. Brethren, we don't like being found out and reproved and labeled wrong. I mean, whether it's by individuals or whether it's by God Almighty, we don't like that. But that has to be done in order to be saved. Amen. There's no other way around it. But then a person has to deal before God with their sin and with their guilt. Yep. Brethren, that's not... an easy thing to do, I guess what I'm trying to say to you, brethren, is this right here. Brethren, coming to God and getting the issue of our sin dealt with, let me tell you something. That's not an enjoyable thing right off. That's not. And it makes me wonder sometimes about, you can't help but wonder, about so many people today that's just a zippity-zop, zip-zip. And boy, they've done a little quick fix kind of thing, and they're pronounced saved. Brother, my goodness, you see in the Bible, was it Felix there? Tremble. Tremble. You know, as Paul reasons, with righteousness, temperance, judgment to come. We see that almost thou persuadest me to, you know, I mean, and in trembling, go thy way, why have more convenient season, I'll call for you. Well, there's conviction there. Brother, when you're exposed, brethren, who wants to face that? Brethren, we all like to feel halfway decent about ourselves. And then to be exposed by God's Spirit and God's Word to realize there ain't a slap good thing in me. Nope. I'm as rotten to the core as can be. And unless God saves me for Christ's sake, there's no hope for me. And that's the truth. But men don't want to face that. They don't want to face what they are. And brethren, our task is to take... Look, I was talking today on the phone with somebody about this. Someone had called me about, was talking about, look, the Bible says the Holy Ghost came into the world, Jesus said, to convince the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. When Paul was dealing there in Acts, he dealt there with righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 9, the Lord delights in loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. Notice three things each time. Those three things, they all tie together. And brother, if you're going to deal with anybody and be in line with the Spirit of God, you've got to deal with folks about their sin. Amen. And you got to zero in to where they're at. You got to deal with their sin, God's holiness, the fact of judgment, and then the loving kindness of God and the way that He is made out through the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Amen. Those elements have to be there. They've got to be there. And to omit any of that is to take and not get that person to get to the point that they need to be at. But brethren, the thing about it is, though, you know what? And we see it in the Bible. We see that there are men who will see that, know that, and no, not that. But anybody, you can get anybody to pray a little prayer or do any kind of little thing. It's dealing with that heart, getting down to brass tacks, you and God and where you're at. And so light's coming to the world. Men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. Mm-hmm. Their deeds are evil, so they don't face it. Take your Bible real quick. Go to 1 John 1. 1 John 1. And I'm going to tell you something. Even after someone's saved, if you want to maintain fellowship with the Lord, you've got to let the light of His Word and His Spirit expose you. And say, Lord, you got me. There it is. And get the thing dealt with. You know what? There's a wild thing going on right now. Now, I just don't spend a lot of time with newspapers and the news and everything for the most part, because I just don't need to. And I got the Word of God. I figure I'll stay ahead of the game with the Scriptures. But I have, you go if you're online or anything like that, you see different news feeds that come up or flash. Well, it seems like lately, man, there's a role of this thing of exposing sexual escapades of people, in their past. That thing is coming. They've opened a Pandora's box with this thing, bud. That is intriguing to say the least. This thing is going wild for sure. But you know what, brethren? Here's the thing about it. And it's nothing new. It's nothing new. Grover Cleveland was president in the turn of the century. And when Grover Cleveland was a young man, he had had some sexual escapades, and he had got a girl pregnant. Well, he may have been the daddy, or it may have been some of his other friends. Nobody really knew. But since some of his friends had wives, he said, I'll claim his mine. And so he did as a young man, and he took care of the little girl and everything. But later on, he moves on and becomes governor. He becomes mayor, then governor, and ran for president, right? Well, that came out. So his handlers who handled his campaign said, what do you want us to do? He said, tell the truth. He said, tell the truth. And he did. And boy, the media jumped on it, right? Well, somebody came to him from his opponents. Somebody came to him with dirt on his opponent, who was James G. Blaine. And they had some dirt concerning some escapades, evidently, on Mr. Blaine. Grover Cleveland took the material, paid the guy for his time and effort, and when he left the room, he turned to an aide and said, burn it. Burn it. And he burned it all, burned all the evidence of what it, and he said, and he told his the folks in the room, his supporters, he said, let the other side have the monopoly on the dirt. I'm not lowering myself to do it. He said, I'm not doing it. If they want to play that game, let them play it. I'm not. He goes, look, I did what I did. Tell the truth about it. He said, but I'm not going to go trying to be taken. And guy ended up becoming president. Had what he done was wrong? You better believe it was. But he faced up to the thing. What I'm saying is, though, it's an interesting thing that's happening right now. And boy, dirt's getting drug up on people. And trust me, it's not being done righteously. you can count on that. But there's coming a day, brethren. There's coming a day that unless any individual that doesn't have his sins covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ will face God with everything. Can you imagine standing before God and having your life played out and give an account? A God who knows every thought you ever thought. Things you've done that you've done for God about. And there is without a covering, standing before God. Mm-mm. So it's kind of interesting where we're at with things. Kind of what's going on today. It's kind of, you know, I find it intriguing. I find it intriguing because all of a sudden this is becoming a big deal. It's becoming a big deal, man. I mean, everybody and their brother is having everything brought out on them that's in the public eye and everything. And you know what? It's kind of interesting because up ahead, buddy, not too far ahead, lies the return of our Lord. Amen. And you know, some of these folks are smart. If they're smart, they'll let this humble them down. Maybe, and you think, and hopefully they'd humble down and turn to God from this and say, you know what? I'm wicked. I'm undone. And I need forgiveness from Almighty God. You just wish you'd have one that would stand up and say, guilty. What do you want? I'm guilty. I'm sorry if I hurt anybody, and I'm sorry for the ungodliness I did. I need to get right with God. I need salvation. I wish you had one that would stand up and say that. But just interesting kind of where we're at. Light, the Lord's light. 1 John 1 verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So the Lord is indeed light. But what did David say? He said the Lord is my light. So the Lord's light, but is he your light? God is light, but is he your light? We'll make sure of that thing. And can I say something to you too also real quick? Y'all listen. If you have anything that you need to make right, make that right. Because I'm going to tell you something. A lot of these people today that have dirt coming out on them, if they'd have got things right themselves on back, they wouldn't possibly be going through all this like they're going through right now. Brethren, I'm telling you, any situation, look, now you get saved, you're covered by the blood of Christ, you have His righteousness forgiven, there may be restitution and things that need to be made, amen? But listen, after salvation, okay, look, something not done right, I'm just telling you, the quicker you make a thing right, the less collateral damage there will be to have to deal with. You let something go and you let something go and you let something go, it just gets worse. And it always increases the collateral damage in all that takes place. And that's just about true in any kind of aspect of life. All right. So he said that the Bible says, David said, the Lord is my light. Not just light, but my light. And he says, my salvation. But before I get to that, let me define light for you in the dictionary. Light is defined as that agent or matter which makes objects perceptible to the sense of seeing. Light enables you to see something. When it's dark, you can't see. When it's light, you can see things. You can perceive things. Well, the Lord gives spiritual light. Go to 2 Samuel 22. Listen, surely that's your testimony if you're saved. That, you know what? I was in darkness. I couldn't perceive spiritual things. I repented and came to God through Jesus Christ, and the lights got turned on. And I now have spiritual insight that God has imparted to me. Amen. That's what God does when He saves us. Amen. He does that which only He can do. 2 Samuel 22, look at verse 29. 2 Samuel 22, 29. For Thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. Amen. That's what He did for me when He saved me. It's what He did for you when He saved you. You went from darkness to light. You couldn't perceive spiritual things. Christians would talk about things and you would be just like, I don't have a clue about that. I have no idea what they're talking about. I don't get that. You get saved and it's like, I got it. That's clear. I get that now. There's insight and that only comes by the new birth. Take your Bible, go to Acts 26 and verse 15. Acts 26, verse 15. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, for the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Darkness to light. That's what he does for us. So David said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord was David's salvation. Is he yours? Notice salvation. David said, who's his salvation? The Lord. Salvation is in a person, not in a concept, not in a thing. A person. He says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Salvation is in a person. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ. What Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. Salvation is in a person. David understands this concept of the Lord being salvation. He said it wasn't anything, any process. It's the Lord. The Lord is my light and my salvation. You know what he says next? Because of that, whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? Listen, if the Lord is your light, if the Lord is your salvation, whom shall you fear? Whom shall you fear? Take your Bible, go to Matthew 10. Now, brethren, you know what? We've got a time coming up now. People are afraid. People are getting fearful. They are really getting fearful. And brethren, as a believer, one of the things that we cannot have because it dishonors God is fear. Fear dishonors God. All right? Brethren, listen, I want to tell you something. There's nothing that the Lord will call you to do that's righteous that you can't be bold in. If God is in it, you can do it boldly. With humility, but boldly. Brethren, look here. When I say a fear in a believer dishonors God, let me put that in context. Brethren, look here. If I was out here going to try to free solo climb one of those mountains in Yosemite, I'd be scared. And that would be fine to be scared because I ought to be. You understand me? I ought to be. Because, brethren, there's not nothing there in doing that that's glorifying God. That's glorifying me. And that's tempting God. You understand that? Brethren, there's some things that men do, and it's tempting God. When the devil tried to get Jesus to cast himself down from the temple, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. That's tempting God. See, it's one thing if a paramedic puts himself, or a rescue worker puts himself in a precarious situation to save. I'll put it this way. Let's suppose there's a kid climbed up some power pole, some you know, those big power lines out there, climbed up there, and somebody's got to go get him. All right, then you know what? That's something that is a right thing to do. But you know what? Just to climb that thing to do it, you're tempting God. You're tempting God. There's no need to. There's no need to do something like that. But just to do it for the thrill, just to do it to say I can, all that's bold. That's foolish. That's foolish. So you're going to fall, break your back, become paralyzed. What a man. What a fool. What a fool. Seriously. No reason for that. I read about a boy one time. He was autistic. He had some really bad problems. And that boy had no fear. He just had no fear. And that boy climbed up on one of those towers. And he was just sitting on top. Well, his older brother saw him. And the boy was only like 14, the older brother. The young boy was like 10. And he climbed that thing scared to death because it's his brother. And he got up there and held his hands on that boy's wrist until help could come. And they rescued them both. And I mean, that's tremendous. I mean, that thing really happened. And he did it because that was his brother. And he was, you know, scared to death of his brother falling and dying. And he went and did it. There's a reason. There's a reason. But to just do it for a thrill, you're tempting God. You're tempting God. You're putting yourself, brethren, to put yourself precariously somewhere and say, when there's no reason, when there's no viable reason that's common sense or scriptural, and then it's like, protect me, God. You're tempting God. You don't do that. All right? But brethren, when God has you to do something, and God is, and just, or living your life like you're supposed to live, brethren, fear dishonors God. God's people are not to be a fearful people. Take your Bible, Matthew 10, look at verse 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That's God. In other words, the Lord Jesus is saying the one you fear is God and him alone. Go to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Verse 6, Hebrews 13, verse 6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Amen, brother. Man, you got it licked when you get to that point. To say, you know what, the Lord's my helper. And as much as I know I'm walking with him, trying to walk with him, then you know what? I'm not going to fear what man can do to me. Because at the worst, what can they do? You try to kill me. And if somebody said, you heard the old phrase, they could eat you, like it's going to bother you when you're dead. I mean, seriously, if somebody mutilates your body, if you're dead, you're dead. That means absolutely nothing. And for the believer, y'all, listen, God will, as a child of God, trying to walk with God, God will either deliver you or give you grace. Amen. And you can't lose. God will either deliver you or give you grace. Let me tell you something, brethren. Listen, did you realize as a believer? Now, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We know that. If we're saved, we know that. He is the Son of God. If you're saved, you are a son of God. The Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. The Bible says in 1 John 3, beloved, now are we the sons of God. All right. You realize Christ was untouchable until it was time for him to finish his course. You realize that? He was untouchable. Nobody could touch him. Not a thing could happen to Jesus Christ until it was time. Amen. As he walked in the Father's will, okay? Did you realize if you're saved and walking in the Father's will, you are untouchable till you finish that course? Amen. Now, if you're not walking in the Father's will, you're wide open. Because the Bible says, whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him. But as much as you know, if you're walking in the will of God, you're untouchable. Now, someone says, well, yeah, but something may happen. Don't you understand? If that happens, it's because it's God's will then, if you're walking in his will, and he'll give you grace for it. You understand that? He will give you grace to finish up. Listen, he'll give you grace in whatever you encounter in his will, and you're an untouchable, as Christ was, if you're walking in his will until you finish that course. Brethren, remember that. Remember that. Any of the followers of Christ in any day, in any age, are untouchable if they'll stay in the will of God and finish up what he has. And if you get out of the will of God, the Lord will allow you to be touched to get you back in there where you ought to be. And he will give grace for those things. What the devil tries to do is constantly bombard your mind with, what about this? And what about that? And what about, well, how could you? Brother, do you know what? It's usually not the going through something that gets us. It's the thinking about it. Really. Most things like, it's not the going through it. It's the thinking about it. And the devil jumps on that and he says, what if, how could you, what if you, you couldn't be able to handle this? You're going to be able to, and Sister Judy, has God not been giving you grace since the death of your son? Has he not given you grace? Of course he has. You're here right now. You're going on. Ain't easy. Been hard. That's because of love. If they wouldn't love, it couldn't be hurt. But God's given grace. But you know what? I'm sure there have been times before to think about losing Eric would have been like, oh God in heaven, what can I do? Oh, what do I do? But God gives grace in it to see it through. And that's with death. That's with sickness. That's with pain. That's with hurt. Listen, if you think about, listen, brother, listen, one of the most foolish things you can do is allow the devil to grab hold of your mind and think about, what would I do if? You can't live like that. The devil will eat you alive. He'll tear you up. He'll get you there. What if something was to happen to my child? What if something was to happen to my parent, my wife, my husband? What if something was to? You can't, you better not do that. You are playing right into the enemy's hands. Right in there. You must stop and grab hold of your thoughts, like the Bible says, bring them into captivity, plant your feet and say, look, it would be hard, no doubt, but my God promised me grace and I will not deal with that until I'm faced with that. And God will either not let it happen, or if he lets something happen, he will give grace. But the devil's going to try to get your thoughts and get you sidetracked, and he'll wreak havoc with you on such a matter like that. Look here. Take your Bible and go to Hebrews 13 and verse 6. We just read that. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Go to Psalm 118. Psalm 118. Psalm 118. Psalm 118. Psalm 118. And verse 6. Psalm 118 verse 6. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? What can man do unto me? Where's David saying that? And brethren, we're after the cross. We have the new birth. And look at that. Well, God abiding within us. Look what David could say. He says, the Lord's on my side. I'm not fear. What can man do unto me? If the Lord is our light and salvation, then we have nothing or no one to fear. Brethren, we fear. You know most of the time we fear? We fear when we're afraid of losing something. Be it a possession, be it a person, our life. We fear when we're afraid of losing something. Well, let me ask you, listen, brother, we need to ask ourselves, do we love life or the Lord? It's fine to love life as long as it is seen as a gift from God and that he is loved above life itself. No, it's fine to love life. God gave you life. The Bible says, he that will love life and see long days. Okay, it's fine to love life. The Bible even speaks of that very phrase, loving life. But not above God. Because life is a gift from God. Yeah. And we must recognize he is the one that grants it. Every breath is in his hand. And we must love him above life itself. And we'll tell you something. Until you can love God above life itself, you will never be able to relax and enjoy life. You won't. If there's anything in your life right now that is more important to you than the Lord, you know how you can know it? Because you get antsy and nervous and preoccupied about losing it. Could be a house. Could be a job. Could be a relationship. Could be life itself. Could be anything. If everything is tied around, I can't handle losing this. That thing is above God. And you're trapped. And that'll always be the go-to place the devil can go to just mess you up, ruin your day, bring you into bondage. What if something happens to this? What if something happens to this house? What if something happens to this car? What if something happens to your health? What if something happens to this relationship? What if something happens? If you can say, well, I'd rather not, but you know what? My God does all things well, and I'll trust him. Then you can move on. You can enjoy whatever thing that is, as long as it's an okay thing to enjoy. And you're not in bondage. You're not bound with that thing. But boy, I'm telling you what now. If you love anything above the Lord, you won't even be able to. Listen, if you love life itself above God, you won't be able to enjoy life. You won't. It's fine to love life if you look at it as a gift from God and he is first. Go to John 11. John chapter 11. John chapter 11. John chapter 11, verse 25. John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Go to Colossians 3 real quick. Colossians 3. Jesus is the life. And hopefully he is your life. Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, for Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. That is the question. Is Christ your life? But you know what people tend to do? They compartmentalize the Lord Jesus, and they put him in a compartment with everything else in their life. And what is supreme is self. Something's wrong there. Deadly wrong. Bad wrong. Christ, who is our life, he is to be supreme. And then you fit everything else in as he will so direct. Can't work any other way. You don't compartmentalize God and say, okay, here's my niche for God in my life. You've got to be kidding me. You gotta be kidding me. He's the creator. He's everything. He's all. The Bible says, Paul's talking there, when Christ, who is our life, when he is our life, everything else can fit in its right place, but only until then. All right, listen. Go back real quick to Psalm 27. David says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Then he says next, the Lord is the strength of my life. Lord's the strength of my life. Take your Bible, go to 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12. The Lord is the strength of my life. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. 2 Corinthians 12, 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Brother, look here. You know what? We tend to glory in what we feel are our strengths. Boy, God could really use this thing in my life. He may not. Because that's all you. The Lord is looking to use things that he will get the glory, and not just him getting the glory. But listen, if it's you, that power is limited and it can't. Your power, your ability can't produce eternal things. Only the Spirit of God can. Amen. That's why he's got to be allowed to be in us, and his strength is made perfect in our weakness. Brethren, there are a lot of things today, and I know that people mean well when they do them. I know they mean well. I know that. I know that much of it is done in ignorance, but it's wrong. You know, today it's real popular. A lot of churches will have these kind of guys in. They're called power teams. And they're weightlifters, powerlifters, strength. And their guys, they're unbelievable. They're strong. They'll break chains. They'll take and do all kinds of strength things. And they try to give testimony about the Lord and such as that. But brother, listen. Listen. God don't need that stuff. Too often, there's a little bit too much of glory and self in it. Very often, how they dress is not in a manner that is a holy and a godly manner that you see according to Scripture. And it appeals more. Listen to me. Too often what happens is young men watch that. And I'm going to tell you right now, for the most part, it ain't let me hit the book. It's let me hit the gym when they get through watching something like that. Really. It's like, wow, those guys, and they're doing, and it's appealing there to the flesh. Brother, listen. Paul said, his strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul said he would glory in his infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon him. And so, brethren, there are times God will make us weak in us that his power may be greatest in us. We've got to remember that kind of thing. You know, somebody was telling me one time about someone that had a beautiful voice. They had a beautiful voice. And people were like, wow, what God could do with that. Whoa, that's man's way of looking at it. God may use that person. God may not use that person. God may take something with a beautiful, someone with a beautiful voice and take that voice away. Or not allow it because he's like, that's you. That's you. And all, listen, but what we produce is just fleshly things. Not necessarily bad things, but rather we can't produce eternal things. Only God's Spirit can. Brother Wayne Fair. Brother Wayne said, I never will forget. Wayne said his attitude was, you know, I'm fairly young. I think he was probably in his late 20s, maybe early 30s. And he said, you know, and I could go over to New Guinea and climb those mountains and do the things that need to be done over there. I've got a lot of strength to me and everything now. And God let him get in that car wreck where that highway patrolman hit him and crumbled his body up. Had to shorten his jaw, teeth implants, messed Wayne up. And you know, the Lord told him, he said, Wayne, I don't need you. You need me. And that is the truth, brother. But Lord doesn't need us. We need him. And brethren, listen. So the best thing to do is keep yourself humble down. Keep yourself humble down so that God's strength can be greatest in you. Take your Bible. Go to Philippians 4. Philippians 4. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Ephesians 4. Or Philippians 4. Philippians 4. And verse 13, you know the verse, I'm sure, but I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. All things, brethren, having to do with the will of God, having to do with spiritual things, you can do through Christ, which strengtheneth you. Brethren, that doesn't mean that means any task that you want to do for self or any kind of, brethren, if some powerlifter wanted to lift a big weight, I can do all things. Oh, stop, man. No, you can't. You can't do that simply through Christ. Maybe if you've got the strength to do it. What the Bible's speaking to us here is this. Anything that is right, anything that a believer is supposed to do, you can do through Christ which strengthens you. God will never have you do anything that you can't do in him. I'm serious. God will never have you do anything that you can't do through and in him. If it's right, if it's scriptural, you can do it through Christ. And brethren, remember that thing there. You know, a lot of times people are like, well, I'll give you an example of it. Over there in New Guinea, one of the things that I observed and was talked to me about also was that one of the big mistakes that has been made through the years, and I believe some missionaries acknowledge it as such, was there was a tendency to try to make the pop ones white rather than worry about developing them spiritually. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, it's like a lot of times there would be frustration because it's like, why can't they get this? You know, because it is, it is, it is, it, It can frustrate you. Because when you go to a bank, you may stand 2 or 4 hours in line. When you go to a mechanic, it's unbelievable. And it is. I mean, over it was just unbelievable. There's a different mindset. There's a different mentality, a way of looking at things. It's just different. But it's the way things are. So someone was, a missionary was talking to me while I was over there and asked me, what do you do then? What do you do concerning ways that maybe is their culture that can just be maddening versus ways concerning that are right and wrong? I said, here's the deal. Anything that a saved Papuan is supposed to do according to the Bible, they had better do and are supposed to do and can do. But when it becomes a matter of how they pump water to their house or the kind of house they have, that's between them and God. And if they're happy with it, fine. It's no big deal. That's no, you know, don't get frustrated because a Papuan wants to live in a shelter and not have a house like you have one. So what? If he's happy with it, and they are very often, leave it alone. But anything that he's supposed to do according to the Bible, he can do. If he's saved, if he's got the Holy Ghost, no make excuses for him. He better step up the plate. You understand? Brethren, if we're saved, no excuses. No excuses because of our age, no excuses of our sex, no excuses of our race. If we're saved and the Holy Ghost abides within, no excuse. Step up the plate and do right. I don't care if it's Vice President Pence, if he's saved, he's accountable to that book to do right. Don't matter his position. If somebody over in New Guinea is saved and they don't have a lot of education, or they're very backward to live in a hut, okay, fine. But what they know and what they're given and what they're supposed to do, they can do. No excuses to be made. No, well, you know, they're just, You know, Brother Niels told me, he said that, and what that does to do otherwise cripples people. Brother Niels told me, he said, one of the airport our airline, the government came in and was going to raise a bunch of the land and build an airport in some remote area. And they did. And so what they did, they paid the Papuans, I'm talking like maybe $5,000. I forgot, but they paid them a good amount of money. They paid them money and built them nice houses. Do you know what the Papuans did? Partied, gambled, and drunk the money away, sold their house, and then went back to their hut. And they said, if you ask them, look, and it's like, what? I was in my hut before. That's how I live. I like it. I had a little fling. I'm back the way I was. Don't matter to me. Now, for most of us, that's like, Most people in America, saved, lost, even lost people in America, is like, How could you do that? That's crazy. Stop. Just stop. All right? Just stop. If there's a way that they... Brother Wayne told me one time, he said that he piped water to his house. And some of the guys in the village said, that's nice. Wayne said, you can learn to do that. Wayne said, they told Wayne, no, missionary, that's nice for you. We'll go down and pick our water up and bring it up the hill. Now, if that if he's happy, let him be. If he's happy, you be happy. If he likes doing that, let him do it. But listen, but hold him accountable what the book said. Brethren, there's not a verse saying you're a bad person depending on the way you get water to your house. All right? People are different all over. People are different all over. Whatever. That's his deal. That'll probably frustrate us. We're looking for a... You know, we're Japheth, man. We're just different. You know. But listen, what that Bible says, every man can do if he's saved and got the Holy Ghost and must be held to that standard. And brethren, remember that thing. Don't ever forget it. Look here. He says here, the Lord's the strength of my life. Brethren, if the Lord be your strength, then you know what? You will have an inexhaustible source of power and support to draw from. But the key to appropriating that strength is becoming weak in us. As in so many things in spiritual matters, we must get out of the way that the Lord may be allowed to work. Do you know that? Brethren, we get in God's way. If we're not careful, we'll get in God's way. The Lord's our strength. He should be. But that means we've got to be weak in us to be strong in Him. What's the last thing there it says? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Go to Romans 8. Romans 8. Listen, you can do anything that's right. You know, parents, one of the things that's hard, if you don't believe that we have self-will, pride, and rebellion, take the sweetest, cutest, most precious little young'un and tell him to go say, thank you, or may I. And you know what's going to be manifested? What's going to be manifested? Now, folks, look here. Come on. I love my children. I love my grandchildren. But they're like me. Look here. They're like me. Got the same rebellious nature we all inherited from Adam there in the garden. All right? And you know what? If you don't believe that a child don't have that within them, tell them to go say thank you, please, or may I. You can get them to do it. But, buddy, you're going to work at it. You're going to work at it. And you know what? Because you know what? Here comes the deal. If they thought of it, it's okay. But there's something in them when you told me to. Mm-mm. Because you told me to. You think people don't manifest that toward God? You better believe they do. If I think of it and I want to, I ain't got a problem with it. I don't want you telling me to. Brother, we got more of a problem with authority than we think. We got more of a problem with authority than what we think. And that's why one of the greatest things you can do is root that out of your children. By teaching them and getting them to come out of self. Because you know what it is? It's I'm in my cocoon. I don't want to get out of this. And if I feel like it, it's fine. But when you're telling me go do this, mm-mm. Because I'm not ready for that. I've not worked myself up to it. Now I got to go. And they've got to learn to do it. They got to learn to do it. They got to learn to do it. And let me tell you something. One of the greatest things you can ever do as far as grandparents, is stay out of the way when mom and dad's trying to teach them. Stay out of the way. Always remember that, y'all. Look here. Why, you know what? You love to sometimes, of course, you know, it's one thing to be playing with your grand young and all like that, but if their mom and dad steps up and there's something to be corrected, it's got to be corrected. You got to stand back and let that thing happen and let it roll. Look here. Be careful always also about going, well, what would it hurt? It'll hurt a lot. Listen. If a thought ever enters your mind, what would a little thing hurt? What was one piece of fruit? What was one piece of fruit? Huh? What big thing was it? Huh? Adam and Eve didn't knock off a liquor joint. Adam and Eve didn't go kill nobody. Adam and Eve didn't go a piece of fruit. A bite. Seriously, y'all. That's something we've got to always keep in mind. Lest we think, well, what's the big deal? Well, I'll tell you something. For the husband and wife raising that child, they know it's a big deal. And God forbid that you and I ever get in the way of something that's right and say, what do you make such a big deal of that for? Well, I take you back to Genesis 3. Look at that. Mighty big deal. What seemed like a little thing maybe, look around us now. Oh, yeah. Y'all, what I'm telling you is it's one of the most important things that you can do. And it's not enjoyable. And let me tell you something. Moms, dads, you're not always going to peg it right. Don't get down on yourself. You're not always going to peg it right. And sometimes you know what you're going to do sometimes? Sometimes you're just going to be slap, tired, and you don't put the effort for it, and you just didn't do it, and that's all there is to it. And you know what happens when you do that? Just take a deep breath. Lord, I'm sorry. And back up and get at it again. You know what? Sometimes it's going to be to where it's just like, man. And you're just going to be too tired to fool with it. And you're going to let him get away with some things. And it's going to happen. It shouldn't, but it does. And when it does, back up. Lord, I'm sorry. Get back on the thing. Ride. Get back on that horse and ride. You'll be all right. Stick with it. Stick in there with it. But look here. I'm just telling you, folks, look here. Listen to me. One of the things you can help that young'un do is overcome fear by making them face things. Making them face things. And teach them with authority. Because you know what? We've got things, brethren, we've got to deal with, and it ain't fun. It's not enjoyable, but we've got to. Fear brings a snare. Take your Bible, Romans 8, verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing to fear. You'll stay in there in the will of God and serve him. Look here. Fear brings a snare. Fear brings torment. Fear brings bondage. You go to Proverbs 29. Just a couple more things. Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29, verse 25. Have you ever heard of a British ship called the Dreadnoughts? Big, powerful ship, Dreadnoughts. During the day of the Dreadnoughts, they came out with a little phrase, a little play on words that was pretty good. And the phrase was this, fear God and dread not. And what they were trying to do with it was like, you know, fear the dreadnought. But also, dread nothing. Not means nothing. In other words, fear God and dread. And it's the truth. Brethren, you, if you fear God, you don't have to dread anything. You can truly fear God and dread not. That's for sure. Proverbs 29, verse 25. The fear of man bringeth what? A snare. A snare. And it does. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. If you put your trust in God, you're safe. The fear of man bringeth a snare. Brethren, if we fear men in any capacity, it will ensnare us. And if you're snared, not only will it limit your mobility, you may make it, but you're dragging something. You don't want to function as you ought. What brings that? The fear of man brings a snare. Hebrews 2. Just a couple more passages. Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2, verse 15. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. The fear of death brings you into bondage, brethren. Christ frees you from that fear, sets you free. And 1 John 4, 1 John 4. First John 4, verse 18. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath what? Torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Fear has torment. Fear brings into bondage. Fear brings a snare. Brethren, the fear and love of God brings freedom, peace, and liberty. Amen. Fear of man brings a snare. Fear has torment. Fear of death brings into bondage. Do you know something? Guilt and fear are the main factors in most neurosis and psychological and emotional troubles. Guilt and fear. Guilt and fear are the basis for most psychological and emotional troubles. There's fear and there's guilt. Sometimes the guilt is legitimate because you've done wrong. Sometimes the guilt is you've had something done to you and the shame of it produces a guilt. And you've got, and all of it's worked through in Christ. All of it's worked through in Christ. But I'm telling you, brethren, fear brings torment. Fear will bring you into bondage. And fear and guilt, I'm telling you, are behind almost all of your psychological and emotional troubles. And the devil knows how to use fear and guilt to torment and mess with you. John 14. John 14. John 14, verse 27. Man, what precious words. John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Rather, we're to not let our heart be troubled. So listen, if we come to Christ, He gives us a spirit of peace, power, love, and a sound mind, the Bible says. So if we are fearful and troubled, we're letting it happen. We're letting it happen. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. You don't have to. You and I can do something about that. Some people may have more tendencies. We all got our problems. It's like Brother Jeff said one time. Brother Jeff said, we're all messed up somewhere. You know, we're probably all neurotic somewhere. That's the truth. That's probably the truth a little bit. But we all have different tendencies. But I'm telling you, brethren, if you're saved, God has not given you the spirit of bondage again to fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So if you've got another spirit trying to take those things away, that's not coming from God. And you don't have to yield to it. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. You can do something about that. All right, if we would. And finally, go to Psalm 34. Fear robs you. We know, because we've looked at it countless times, what's the first group listed in the lake of fire? Fearful. The fearful. It mentions whoremongers. It mentions, you know, murderers. It mentions sorcerers. First group, those fearful. Isn't that something? Because fear robs you. Fear dishonors God. Fear dishonors God. Fear shames the Lord, especially for His people to show fear. God got on to Israel about it because they were shaming Him. Here people that had false gods would show more boldness or courage or industry about them than the people who had the true God. It was offensive to the Lord. All right? So Psalm 34 and verse 4. I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. He'll deliver you. The fear of death, fear of man, He'll deliver you. Any other fear, take it to Him. Ask Him for His help. Ask Him for His grace. He'll deliver. He'll come through for you. He'll help. If we'll bring the thing before Him and put it before Him. You know that thing there about the first group in the lake of fire, the fearful? There, no doubt, brother. No doubt there have been people that sat in a church service or somewhere, the Lord dealing with them, knowing they need to repent and turn to God, but yet afraid of what somebody would say to them, think of them, or how they would esteem them. Hey, Brad, you remember Stephen Cooper? I don't know if you ever see him or anything or not now. You never think, I don't know. But Brad, going on 20 years here now. You know what he told me one time, Brad? He wanted, you remember when y'all was little when he had him Bible studies? Remember having told him? Stephen Cooper one time told me, he said, he had some Bible, he wanted to talk about the Bible. He wanted to ask me some things. But you know what he's afraid of? What he told me? He's afraid to get made fun of. He was afraid to get made fun of. He was afraid that maybe others would start mocking him, saying, oh, church man now. You the preacher? You deacon now? Really, you know what I'm saying? He was afraid of what might be said. And that thing, he told me. I talked to him about it. He said, I just couldn't handle it. I couldn't handle it if somebody was to fear. I don't know if Stephen's got saved since then. I don't know what it is. I hadn't seen him in years or anything, so I don't know. I would hope, maybe it'd be, surely, hopefully. But I know at that time, what was holding him back was fear. Fear. But people are going to give you a rough time. I know a boy I grew up with. I knew him and his brother. Him and his brother had kind of a falling out because his brother got saved. And the other brother was like, oh, Deacon so-and-so now, huh? You the real... And that stuff comes. That stuff comes. And God, you know, here's what people don't realize. If you really get saved, God will give you the grace for that. And you'll love people in spite of it. But like with Stephen's case there, he was, the idea of that, he's like, I couldn't handle that. And we may look and be like, that's crazy. Whoa, 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 there's a king in the Bible. But the prophet told him, go give yourself up and I'll spare you. You know what he was afraid of? They might mock me. The Jews might mock me. It's a fear. The problem is, it's a fear that will cost you, but sadly, in some instances, it will cost a man his soul. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for your precious and your holy word. Father, thank you that in thee, Lord, in thee, we can have victory. We can have peace. Lord, if we would only learn to fear you and love you as we ought. Oh, Father, please help us. Please, Father, help us to know and understand how damaging, how dishonoring, how ensnaring fear is. We're all subject to it, Lord. We still have flesh. We're all subject to it. But, oh, Father, help us to appropriate your word and your promises. Lord, that we would be actuated not by groundless, needless fears, but by fear and love of thee. And we thank you and we ask this, Father, in Lord Jesus' name. Amen.